What's the latest on the crew? Let's go inside the clubhouse with Drew Wagner of Forbes Sports on the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis. Brought to you by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Inside the clubhouse is brought to you by Focus Baseball, because fundamental development starts with focus. Find them at focusbaseball.com.
Yeah, boy. It's the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee. Reminder that this show and all of our shows, you can find them on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you get your listening pleasure. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight into the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search The Mason Crosby Show, hit the follow button so you get every minute of your show on your way and on your time. And remember, Drew Wagner joins us every Monday and Thursday at 10 o'clock. So if you just want to listen to Drew Wagner appearances on The Mason Crosby Show, you can do that as well. I would do that at a bare minimum. I would listen to more than just Drew, but I would absolutely listen to Drew. Joining us now, he is the one, he is the only, Drew Wagner. What up, Drew?
Homeboy, did you just drop a yeah, boy?
Yeah, boy. Public enemy in
Drew,
the house.
Drew, you don't know what I deal with on a daily basis. Like, that is a tame Mitch Nellis.
Yeah. That is like, that is going back to like 1989 summer camp.
When, Mitch, you and I are both middle-aged Caucasian men from the burbs.
True, true. One of us is from the East Coast, though.
Dropping a yeah, boy, out of our mouths. One of us is so wrong.
You're probably right. You're probably right. All right, Drew, we've got so much to get to. First of all, what do we catch you in the middle of today? It's an off day. There's 3 days till the All-Star break. I know you got a lot going on, both fun stuff and work stuff. What do you got going on right now?
I am getting ready to go tear down a fence.
Oh, I just told Tommy that you were doing some fence work on Monday. Have you moved up the timetable on the fence?
I got a little fortunate weather, and the incompetent clowns at the city of Milwaukee actually processed the permit on time. The fact that you need a permit to do something to your own property is ridiculous.
Did you slip
them? I'm gonna go tear it down.
Did you slip them a 50?
Well,
are you allowed to do that? Do people still do that? Are there still bribes in public service?
I'm pretty sure that's the only way. Pretty sure the only way an elected or government official in Milwaukee operates.
Come on. There are cities way worse than Milwaukee.
Drew, I have a question for you. We're just going back to, Mount Rushmore of Drew Wagner tweets. Did you punch Mitch Nellis in the face after he tweeted out free baseball yesterday?
Because I did not see him until we were in the media interview room.
It's true.
No punches were thrown. But I've got it in the back pocket. Like I'm going to wait for him.
Is this like the slap back from how? Is this like the slap back from How I Met Your Mother? Oh man,
we're gonna be sitting at the dinner table in the media dining room, just having a normal conversation. That's not coming from me. Don't worry. We'll be sitting at the media dining room dinner table, just having a normal conversation about things Mitch never talks about, like Boston sports.
Yeah,
and in between bites of a burger, I'm just going to reach over and slug him.
All right. I will own that, and I will wear it. Drew Wagner, Forbes Sports, our Milwaukee baseball insider. I want to start with Trevor McGill and getting the nod to the All-Star game, and just like the extreme confidence that he showed when we talked to him in the clubhouse after the game, that like he had no other plans. He wasn't even planning to stay home. Like he was legitimately planning on being in Atlanta as a member of the National League All-Star game, regardless of whether he got named to the team originally or not. Like, I love the dog in him that just says, nope, I'm an All-Star. I deserve this. I'm manifesting this. This is going to happen, and it happened. I thought that was pretty cool.
I did, too. Listen, on first glance, McGill can come off basically, well, you know how people who don't know me very well describe me, right, Mitch?
Yes, you know.
The word that I'm looking for.
Yep.
That's the same word a lot of people will use in describing Trevor McGill, which is maybe why him and I seem to, coexist so peacefully. But the dude believes in himself. And, I saw some comments on Twitter, what a cocky a-hole. Seems like kind of a jerk. Yeah, fine, so be it.
But don't you want that? Don't you want that in your closer?
You do. I think you absolutely do. And I don't think it was coming from a place of arrogance. I think it was coming from a place of, this guy has been through a lot in his career.
Mm-hmm.
He's bounced around. He's had some injury history.
Yep.
He found a place in Milwaukee, 2023, got a little bit of taste, niched himself into a valuable position last year when Devin was hurt, was basically handed the job when Devin was traded, and told himself, okay, you're going to be an all-star this year. But what do you have to do to get to that point? It's something I talk about with my therapist all the time. Like, this is a goal that I have. Okay, great. It's a great goal to have. What do you have to do to get there?
Yes.
And what do you have to do to do what you have to do to get there? So the long story short is here, he did the work. And it's not just going out there, you know, every time they hand the ball and throwing fire. It's, how do you take care of your body, especially when you're pitching on back-to-back days? How do you stay prepared? How do you know the game plan going in? Like, there's a ton of work that goes into being a big league pitcher. There's an extra load of work that goes into being a top-level closer and being available as much as he is and staying healthy when you throw as hard as he is.
Yes.
He's done the work. So for him to come out and say, I am going to be an all-star this year, that means he dedicated himself to doing all these things he has to do to be able to go out there every game and get guys out.
Yeah, I think, like, again, when you look at the pure numbers, he was in the mix to make the team regardless. And then sometimes it's just a numbers game with closers because every team has a closer. But to share that with us yesterday and share that with the fans, and I just loved, we talk about guys who have the dog in them, and he has that dog in him, and it was fun to hear him share that. Like, we're like, so what were you going on vacation? Were you going to say, no, I was going to Atlanta. Were you going as a fan? No, I was going to the game. Loved it.
Yep, me too.
Yeah. All right, now I want to talk about Andrew Vaughn.
That was a good question. I wonder what intrepid reporter posited that query to Mr.
I feel
McGill.
Like it was Mr. Andrew Wagner.
God, that guy is a genius.
He's really good at his job. Follow him on Twitter, @byAndrewWagner. I also want to talk about Andrew Vaughn, because, like, what a start to a career with a team. 3-run homer, technically the game-winning RBI in game one, then tying singles in game two and game three. Game three, a pinch hit in the ninth inning to tie the game. Like, and I know that, like, that I was telling everybody on the radio earlier that, like, you know, that the way the media worked yesterday is, like, half the people were at Vaughn, half the people were at McGill. You and I were at McGill. And when Vaughn was done with the media, I just kind of went over to him and said, hey, I host the radio show. Like, what a great way. Like, what wasn't it special with the fans and like, with those hits? And all he said to me was, like, it was awesome, man. And I'm like, that's what it was. Like, for Andrew Vaughn, these first three games, for him and for the fans, it was awesome, man.
I mean, Tommy and I have already discussed on the leadoff show, which you can hear before every game right here on 1250, 105.7, The Fan. We know what the secret is to Andrew Vaughn's success, don't we, Tommy?
We do.
And what is it, Tommy?
It is the, I was going to let you set it up because I have no idea what, I can't remember now on top of this, Drew.
Oh,
what,
come on now.
Is it his power? Is that what you're going with?
No, I'm going with his walk-up song,
Johnny. Oh, gosh, that's my bad. I should have knew that.
You even talked about that yesterday,
I thought
Tommy.
Way too deep. I thought way too deep on that. That was my bad. Of course, true. Yes.
No, but you're right. Like, baseball speaking, like, Andrew Vaughn is, if he's got a way to figure it out, and sometimes it really is as simple as a change of scenery.
Yes.
Which sounds dumb, but the way that the guy makes contact, it's a run. It's an offense generating swing. Like, he has great power, and it's like I said on the leadoff show, it's not just over the fence power, but he drives the baseball. And when you have such a speedy, athletic team like the Brewers, you know, now you're talking guys going first to third and even first to home, because he hits the ball to spots that are deep in the ballpark. That's valuable power, which means you don't always have to crush it over the fence. He's been, it's only three games, all right? You know, let's not get carried away here, but he's provided something in these three games that has been lacking and that they sincerely needed in these three games to win these three games. You know, to say nothing of the home run in game one, I mean, that was electrifying.
Yes.
You know, sometimes it's the right place at the right time.
Yeah. And it's so far three. I mean, and like you said, three games in, everybody take a deep breath, everybody relax. But it's been a fun three games to watch, that's for sure. Is there, you know, we talked about it a little bit with Murph yesterday, but in your mind, is there any extra juice to sweeping the Dodgers and with the realization that the All-Star... Oh, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Lost it for a second.
Any extra juice, the fact that they swept the Dodgers, knowing that the All-Star break is coming and that they come out of the All-Star break with three more against the Dodgers, like this was a, I don't know what it was, 33,000 were at the field yesterday, which is a really nice crowd for a day game, and it was electric.
38 the day before, 30-something the day before that. Yeah. I mean, it's the dog days of summer. People are going to the Dells. People are going to Door County. People are going camping. A midweek series, granted the Dodgers were in town, that's a huge turnout. That is huge.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. Like, and now they're gonna, you know, after the All-Star break, they're gonna go to LA. So, like, what can they take from this series that you know, as much as we know that momentum in baseball is tomorrow's starting pitcher. Brewers are off today. It's tomorrow's starting pitcher. But what can they take from this series to kind of have that extra bounce in their step, have that extra seed of confidence in their brain moving forward?
Well, the same intrepid reporter who queried Trevor McGill on his All-Star break plans also asked Pat Murphy that and did not get the answer or any answer, really, just got some rambling. But I think that they took a valuable lesson out of this, not just that they can beat these guys, but I think they realized what it is they have to do to beat these guys, or anybody. And that means come out there and play your brand of baseball, stick to the plan, you know, don't try to do too much, move guys over, put the ball, all that little stuff, all that, the fundamentals and the, you know, incidentals that Tommy and I talk about before every game, the little things, the preparation, all that stuff. If you do all that stuff, you can go out there and you can beat the Dodgers. You can beat the Phillies. You can beat the good teams. When you get away from that, you can lose to the Pirates. I think that's the lesson that the Brewers should be taking out of this series. You know, you look at what they did in Philadelphia. You look at what they did this week against the Dodgers. And that's got to give you some confidence going out to Dodger Stadium next weekend and starting this thing back up. You're going to have to bring your A game. I mean, this is easily the most talented team in baseball. And you're playing at home. And they're going to be loaded for bear, because if you don't think they're PO'd about losing three straight to the Brewers, and what are they, lost 6-7 in a row overall? Like, Dodgers are coming out hungry because they've got all the pressure on them. You know, they're the billion-dollar team. The Brewers are just the happy-go-lucky scrappers. Like, they're supposed to lose that series.
I love it.
You got to be ready. You've got to do your preparation. You've got to do all the little things before the game, in each at bat. You can't take it for granted, and you can't let your guard down. That should be the lesson they take out of this series.
Drew, I got a question for you, and it goes back to the starting pitching. And we saw all three starters go six innings, at least, in the series, as well as give up just two runs during that time. Do you think that this starting pitching is starting to click, and that is putting some pressure on maybe the front office to get anything working for a bat in the trade deadline period here? Or do you think that the Brewers are just going to continue to ride with what they have? Mainly because Mizorowski right now, it seems like, has given everyone some sort of rejuvenation in the starting pitching staff. And to do what they did against the best lineup in baseball, it's starting to make people think that they have the pitching to make some sort of run in the postseason, but maybe question what they have on the offensive side. And it feels like there is some added pressure now on the front office.
This obsession with go out and get a bat, go out and get a bat. Like, what is it that people think the Brewers are going to do? Like, Aaron Judge is not available.
Right.
Juan Soto is not available. You know, show me someone that's guaranteed to go out and hit 20 home runs, 15 home runs down the stretch. someone that's going to hit 300 with runners in scoring position. Is that person available? Are the names that are getting bandied about, if you look at their numbers and compare them to what the Brewers have, are they that much of an upgrade?
No, I don't think there's anyone too exciting. I'm just wondering, like, because the Brewers pitching staff, it seems like, is in an elite tier right now. And the bats, obviously, maybe not, because looking at what they did over the series, I mean, they won 2 one-run games in which they weren't scoring 4 or more runs in those contests either. Like, this is now a team that it feels like they should not be they should not be patient. Like, they have to go for something this year with the staff they have right now, I think.
Yeah, but again, they're limited in their options, because who are you going to replace? Durbin?
Oh, I think Ortiz is the one that
Ortiz is the guy that people are talking about.
Okay.
Like, do you get a shortstop, or do you move Terang to shortstop for the second half of the season if you get a bigger bat at second or third?
Yeah, I don't think they're moving Terang to shortstop. I don't think they're going to mess with that, especially after the issue with the arm in spring training. I think if they ever make that move, it's something that's going to be, you know, when they have their exit interviews, they're going to say, okay, Bryce, here's the deal. You need to start doing a strength program and a throwing program and readjust to making the throw from short, that kind of thing. Because it's not just that simple. When you're used to making the same throw and the same motion at the same strength level for an entire year, it's not that easy. It's different for guys that are utility and bounce around, but when you're doing it every, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Who are the shortstops that are available? Who are the third basemen that are available? How do they fit in?
Yeah, the third baseman that people are going to talk about is going to be Suarez. Like, is Arizona giving up on the season? We've seen Suarez go places and be great. We've also seen him go places and be terrible.
That's exactly it. He is as freaky as it gets. So, you know, you're sitting there and you're basically, you know, going to the roulette wheel. Is this guy who's got some more pop than the guys that we have going to be hot the rest of the way? Or are we better off sticking with our guys that have similar numbers but don't have the pop? Like, how does it fit? Just going out and getting a bat doesn't guarantee anything. You know, it's hard to make a trade. And this is the thing I harp on every single year. People think it's so easy to just, hey, we're going to give you this guy. And it's always, let's give up a guy that sucks for a guy that's an all-star. That's always the stuff.
Yes, yes.
It's like, this isn't MLB The Show. This isn't your fantasy team. There's another guy on the other end of the phone who's trying to extract as much as possible while you're trying to give up as little as possible. Like, it is incredibly hard to make a trade. So I don't know if the quote-unquote bat that the Brewers need is out there. I really don't. I don't know if there's anyone that's that much of an upgrade to this offense that's going to move the needle one way or the other.
Drew Wagner joining the Mason Crosby Show here. Follow him on Twitter, @ByAndrewWagner. Drew, one other thing I want to comment on here is now the Milwaukee Brewers, with what they have changed up on the bullpen side of things and with the starting pitching, and we just learned today that at about 10 o'clock, Nestor Cortez is coming back and on a rehab assignment in Appleton. Where do you think he slots in now? We've heard some rumors of a starter going to the bullpen or, a six-man rotation. But this is a guy that they're going to want on the big league roster this season. And I don't know where his role is now because all things seem to be firing for the Brewers on the pitching side.
But the only thing the only other thing I'll say to that is that, is there a way, not a six-man starting rotation, but like a five-and-a-half-man starting rotation where they don't start Mizorowski every fifth day, but they give him an extra day off here and there as they're trying to keep him fresh and not overwhelm him, knowing he's never pitched more than 80 innings in a season ever before?
Yeah, it's tough, man. Like, you talk about conversations that you didn't expect to have. You know, let's go back to the start of April. You know, the Brewers are getting absolutely bludgeoned. All of their starters and all of their backups are hurt.
We're going to look back at this 2025 and be like, oh my God, Elvin Rodriguez started the home opener. Does anyone remember that?
And he just got designated for assignment.
Right, but yes.
I actually hopped on this morning. My good friend Ebo out in Madison, and we got on this morning. We were talking about it. You know, the Brewers right now, if you look at the standings, they have a better record and better run differential than the Yankees, which is incredible when you think about how this season started. They were basically, I made the joke that Matt Arnold was hanging out by the kid's speed pitch out in the right field corner looking for potential starters. And now you're trying to figure out who to put in the rotation because you have too many of them. I mean, baseball is so crazy. I don't know what they're going to do. I think the best case scenario is for Cortes to come back. Maybe they send Mizorowski down for a week or two just to take a breather, to step back, and see if they can deal Cortes before the deadline. If he comes back healthy, gives you a couple of good starts, there's going to be a contender that needs an extra pitcher because everyone needs some healthy pitching.
Sure,
I think that's the best case scenario. You know, you're not going to get a superstar package in return. You might get a depth piece. You might get, you know, a backup piece, a utility piece that helps. But that's the best case scenario. Cortes comes back, send Mizorowski down for 2 weeks or so just to stay fresh. You know, just go out. You're going to do like a 2-inning start at Nashville. Do most of your work on the side. You know, kind of a spring training type thing where guys, they pitch their inning. It goes faster than expected. Then they go finish their work in the bullpen. I could see something like that happening. And what you want there is for Cortes to come out throwing bullets and get someone interested and swing a deal. So you get Mizorowski rest, then you bring him back up. He's good to go for the stretch run. Will that work? Will that happen? I don't know, but I think that's the best case scenario.
Drew Wagner from Forbes Sports, our Milwaukee baseball insider. He's joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline powered by Gruber Law. Drew, enjoy the day off. With no Brewer game today, three games against the Nationals, and then the All-Star break. It seems like it's all coming at the right time. I know you when your team is hot, you want them to keep playing. But it does seem like it's a good spot for the All-Star break. And I know we'll talk about it next week, but I'm already looking forward to getting out on the West Coast and seeing what the Brewers can do against the Dodgers and the Cal Raleighs.
I am too, but right now I'm just focusing on Harley homecoming weekend.
Nice.
It's going to be a hoot, baby. It's going to be a hoot.
Enjoy the fence and then enjoy Harley homecoming. Should be a blast. We expect a full report on Monday.
Yeah, welcome to Milwaukee for all of you riding in and listening to this program, because I know as all you Harley riders are driving to Milwaukee, you're listening to Morning Sports in Milwaukee. We appreciate that.
You know, they've all got the Odyssey app, AUDACY, and you can actually hear us on the iHeart app now as well. So everybody's tuning in to the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thundernellis, Tommy Wirtz, and super guest Drew Wagner. Drew, thanks.
Look at us doing cross promotion, baby.
Love it. Love it. All right, Drew, thanks for jumping on. Have a great weekend. We'll talk soon.
See you, bro.
That's Drew Wagner again. Thanks for joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Mishmash coming up. We've got all sorts of like news and notes and items and ideas and pontifications coming up. I know Tommy's been sitting back there pontificating for quite a while.
No.
No?
No idea what that word means.
No pontificating? Just thinking.
Oh,
just
okay. Think. Yeah, I think all the time.
Exactly. You got a lot going on up there. More than people know. He's TK, Tommy Wirtz. I'm Mitch Nels, a.k.a. Thunder. We are the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee.